And I trust that it'll be profitable to you. You'll be encouraged by it. Psalm 107, I want to begin with verse number 1 this morning. And the Psalms are just filled, you know, as David cries out before God. I mean, we just find so many powerful thoughts and ideas and truths. And, well, we can really build off of that this morning. But Psalm 107, verse number 1, let's look at it together. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why would we do that? Well, it tells us why. For He is good. He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And friends, I'll tell you this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, He's delivered you from the hand of the enemy. He wants to destroy you, but once you come to Christ, He has no touch, no control. You now belong to the God of heaven. As Brother Joe spent time on the idea and the understanding of the security of the believer, friends, it's real, it's true, it's based on the Word of God, which is infallible, it's inerrant, it cannot change. And we can have a confidence this morning that if we're born again, we're going to be in His presence. And that's wonderful in the days in which we live. Verse 3, "And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." Now watch verse 6. This is so good. "Then they cried unto the Lord." They cried out to God. And what did He do? "They cried out in their trouble, and He delivered them out of all their distresses." Beloved, that is a reality. And as Brother Joe or Brother Dave was going through the book of Ezekiel this morning and dealing with different aspects, when Israel would call out to God and cry out to God in repentance and trust, you know what God would do in every situation? He would bless. He would deliver them. And that's what He does. Verse number 7, "And He led them forth by the right way." Led them forth by the right way that they might go to the city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with what? Goodness. Now drop down to verse 15. We're gonna finish up on that and have a word of prayer. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Friends, this morning we serve a good God. And He is full of goodness to us and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let's pray this morning. Father God, once again, we would thank You, Lord, for another day of life, for this opportunity at this moment in time. We thank You, God, for this day. And we thank You, Father, for the truth of Your Word. And Lord, we know that it's absolute truth. As we look at it, we see it prophetically lining up in every sphere. From Genesis to Revelation, God, the things that You have spoken and You have declared, and Father, You have declared exact moments, times, and places in history. And God, it's definitive, it's defined for us so clearly. And God, that gives us this place of absolute trust that what You say, You indeed do. And Father, this morning we thank You because of those precious promises. Father, we can have our lives built upon this Word that never fails. And Lord, as we live in a contingent universe, a world that's forever changing, as we live on a planet, a ball that's suspended upon nothing, You are King and God over all of it. And Father, we can trust You this day. And Father, we come to You this morning, Lord, with the concerns of many in this church and others that are outside of this church. And Father, we would lift up each one to You this morning. I think in particular of Sherry today, and Father, we pray for rapid recovery. We pray for healing, Lord, in the broken bone. And so, Father, we commit her and Terry to You this morning. And once again, we would pray that You would strengthen both of them for Thy glory. Father, I think also today of Brother Dave and, Father, the issue of blood clots. And, Father, we pray, God, that You would melt that down, Lord. You would dissolve that. And, Father, that You would keep him and protect him, Lord, during these challenging days. Father, I think of Cooper and Loopy this morning. And Father, we thank You for those who have professed Christ. And Father, we know that it only begins there. And God, Your heart and Your pulse is to take them from this place of salvation, of infancy, of just being born again, and to grow them and mature them. And so, Father, we pray that that would take place. We pray that Cooper would find a good Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. And we pray this for Loopy as well. And God, we thank you that when you do start that good work, your promise is true. It's real that you finish what you start in every life. And so, Father, we thank you for sanctification on behalf of these individuals. Lord, I think of Alyssa today, and I think of Sammy and Levi and Father, that whole family. And God, we just pray that, Lord, you would break through, and God, that you would bring them into this place of true conviction, a true understanding of their need of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to the Savior. And God, you would fix that which is broken. And so, Lord, we commit them to you this morning. We pray, God, that you would work mightily in that family as well. And Father, I think of Kara today and Ron, her dad, and the fact that I pray for Kara, first of all, and just pray that you'd continue to strengthen her life. But then I pray for Ron as he travels this week, and we pray, God, that you would give him journey mercies, and Father, that you would get him home safely. So we commit them both to you, and Ben and the family, and just pray your blessing on them. Father, I pray for the Morris family this morning and the loss of life. And Lord, it's never easy when we lose somebody. And yet, God, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. But yet, Father, there is an empty spot there. And don't know their spiritual condition, but I know that everyone who has a loved one and they lose that loved one, it always leaves that void. And so, Father, we pray that they're not saved, they'd be saved. And if they are saved, God, we pray that you would fill that void this morning. Father, I want to thank you once again for each precious life that's represented this morning. And Father, we pray that you would direct this service this morning. I pray, God, that always that I would be out of the way. And Father, that you'd give me liberty this morning in preaching and speaking. And Father, that the things that are said and done today would give you glory. And so, Father, we commit this service to you. We pray your blessing on it. We thank you for all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, friends, here in the Psalms, we find David exhorting that men would see God in his goodness and that they would give thanks to God for his goodness. And I think one of the things that's paramount, I mean, a life that really is moving in a right direction is a life that is thankful. I've been around many people that are unthankful, and they're not a joy to be around. But those who have a heart of thanksgiving, they are fun to be around, and it's because their heart is elated. They see things outside the temporal. They see the eternal. And friends, if we don't have a biblical view of God, there's no way we'll ever be thankful. You know, if we're looking to the world to satisfy our curiosities and our, you know, we're looking to the world to kind of energize us and direct us, we'll never be a thankful people. And the reason for that is because 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us that those things which are seen are temporal. And they don't have any eternality to them whatsoever. And so you can get excited about something that's temporal for a little bit, but it always goes away. Friends, God never goes away. He's eternal. And so if we have our eyes and our hearts focused on Him, we're going to find ourselves fulfilled and satisfied even when we're going through those hard places in life. Why is that? He's eternal and He controls everything. And we can trust Him. And so as we journey through the Bible and we look throughout the Word of God, we find a replete statement that God is good. And that's a reality. God this morning is good. And friends, I get up and I am excited every day because of the goodness of God. God is good. And He is the source of every good thing. Do you realize that this morning? God is the source of every good thing. You see, everything that we have before us didn't happen by chance. There is a designer of the design. And friends, God put it all in motion. And I don't care, you know, the anatomy. The Bible tells us in the Psalms that we were all knit together. How were we knit? By God. And so every aspect of our whole existence revolves around the truth of the Creator. He made it all. And friends, when we get a biblical view, a worldview of God, what we find is our hearts are elated because we are looking in the right place. And when we look in the wrong place, the joy goes away, The excitement goes away. Everything becomes drab and doesn't have much meaning or enthusiasm. We get all hung up. We get all discombobulated and twisted because we're not looking in the right place. Friends, if we have a high view of God, I guarantee you this morning your heart is filled with joy and peace. It all originates with Him. So, you know, I just want to say today that we really don't need a special day called Thanksgiving, do we? We really don't. Because as a believer who is in the Word of God, who believes the Word of God, we are constantly on a daily basis, we are seeing and understanding the goodness of God, which the response is always thankfulness. And that's why Paul told the Thessalonians that they were to what? They were to always be thankful, because thankfulness is what? It's the will of God. Amen? Amen. And so when we have a good high view of God, we will be a thankful people. And friends, think about this morning. The very source that makes us thankful, the very source that makes us thankful indwells us. Isn't that amazing? God lives in every believer. Every person who has been born again, God has taken up residence in their life. And it's the Spirit of God who energizes the Word of God, who fills us up and makes us joyful, makes us thankful. And you know, if a person's a Christian and they're moping around and they're caught up, friends, they just don't have their eyes in the right place. And we need to get our eyes off the circumstance, the situations, and get our eyes on the God of goodness, who will lead us in His paths of righteousness, who will fulfill us and make life worth living. And He does that. He makes life. You guys agree with that? Amen. He makes life worth living. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 15. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Let's look at it together, and we're going to get some great perspective this morning on the goodness of God. Colossians 3:15, and let's notice that together. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I'll give you a minute. You're not there yet. I hear pages. I'm going too fast. Rick, slow down. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And notice here, God wants His peace to rule in our hearts. Now, we need to get something this morning, friends. We need to, first of all, ask who is and what is the peace of God. Let me tell you what it's not. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. If you are expecting to have peace inside of you based on a feeling or an emotion, you're missing it completely. Friends, Jesus Christ is our peace. You see, this morning, it's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a person. And friends, when I have my focus on that person and I understand the significance of that person, the fullness of that person, I have instant peace. Why is that? Well, Colossians 1:16 tells us why. He controls it all. Whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, things present, things, whatever, He controls all of it. And friends, when we see Him for who He is our peace. I don't live by how I feel. I live by these unchanging principles that God has set in place. And when I stand on these and I believe the things that God has said, you know what happens? Everything He says becomes real, becomes paramount for my life. It has meaning, it has direction. It gives me insight, gives me wisdom, gives me understanding. It sanctifies me. It gives me righteousness. Friends, it's all because of Him. And it's because we see Him and we see His goodness. And friends, this morning I would say God wants you to see His goodness. Amen. He wants you to see it. And it's evident throughout the Word of God. God gives us this heart. And friends, when He rules in our hearts, it's the best place to live. There's no other. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. There's nothing this world affords that I would trade for my precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes life worth living. Amen. Friends, when we understand the goodness of God, we're always thankful. You know, I'm like you guys. I pay attention, try to pay attention to what's going on around us. And these last several weeks, I have watched people literally melt down. I've watched the liberal media come apart. And the reason they're coming apart is because they did not get their way and they have no future hope. And friends, they're in a dilemma. They're in a dilemma. They're coming apart. There's a willingness to lie and all kinds of things because of their dilemma. It pushes these behaviors that just begin to manifest themselves in profound ways. And we see these behaviors being manifested. They didn't get what they wanted concerning the election, and so they're in a meltdown phase. Friends, it's so different with the redeemed of God. You know, it doesn't matter how the election goes. And I'll talk about this some more, but when we have our eyes on Christ, friends, He is the author and finisher. He controls it all. He regulates it all. Nothing happens outside of His providence. Nothing else happens outside of His sovereign control. He's omniscient in every way. He knows everything there is to know. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And friends, when we have that view of God and we believe what He says, what a wonderful place to live. It ought to have us almost levitating. It's so powerful. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Brother Jod, when we was up at the university this last week, he says, "Brother, I'm almost levitating." You know, I mean, you know, that's just God. And he gets us wound up. He gets us excited. And friends, you know, as the redeemed of God, we're at peace no matter what, because He's in control. And we rest in that. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 17. And let's get some perspective here. This is so good. You know, God just gives us all these beautiful answers and these beautiful understandings throughout His Word. But notice what this says here in Ephesians 5:17. You guys are familiar with the text. Let's read it again together. It says, "Wherefore," and we know that's a purpose clause. He says, "Be ye not unwise." You know, there's a lot of people that walk in the wisdom of the world. Is there any wiseness in that kind of a behavior? None whatsoever. The world has no true wisdom. God gives true wisdom because He's absolute truth. And so it says, "Wherefore ye be ye not unwise, but understanding." Now listen to this. "What the will of the Lord is." Beloved, you know, this morning, my prayer and your prayer should be simply this: God, may your will in heaven be done on earth. Amen. And friends, that's, you know, when Jesus, you know, when He came to the disciples and they said, "Well, how should we pray?" He told them, "We pray according to the Father's will." And beloved, the believer is to align himself with the God of heaven. And friends, when we pray in His will, you know what's going to happen every time? It's going to come to fruition. Why is that? Because He controls all things. And friends, what we've just seen just in the last several weeks has been the will of God. And that says a lot. That says a lot. But let's go on in the passage. Then He says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You know, there's no outside influence that can ever give you the joy that the Spirit of God can give you. Now, there's people who try to find joy in those outward experiences. But listen, friends, if you walk in the Spirit, you're intoxicated for the glory of God. He fills us up. He satisfies us. Now, watch this. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord." Here we go. "Giving thanks always for all things." Beloved, the only way I can be thankful today for all things is to know that God has my best in mind. And you know what? God this morning has your absolute best in mind. Do you believe that? Friends, that is an absolute truth. There's nothing that comes our way that's not without purpose and plan. And when we get a hold of that, and friends, we go through some difficult things. We go through some hard places. But you know, the beauty of it is it's in those hard places that God really makes us who He wants us to be. And when we really begin to understand that the circumstances of life are not a difficult thing or a bad thing, but they're a purposeful thing, and we understand the source of that purpose, you can only do one thing. God, thank you for this situation. And I just think about my own life. You know, I mean, I've, by the grace of God, been pretty stellar by His grace. But here of late, God's knocked some things out from underneath me. And friends, you know what? I find myself rejoicing and being thankful. Amen. Because He's in control. And regardless, you know, Paul said, whether I live or die, I am Christ. Amen. What more is there? Yes. Friends, this life isn't going to last forever. And sometimes people are trying to hang on to the very last minute. Why? Friends, heaven, I mean, if we believe the book, we ought to be ignited. We ought to, really, I'm serious, we ought to be ignited. It's a good thing. You know, Ecclesiastes 7:1 says that a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. Why would he say that? Friends, when Jesus was dealing with the disciples in John 14, he told them, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But here's the picture, friends. Jesus wanted his disciples to have a heavenly perspective. Because he understood that the things of this earth are going to wear out. They're going to go away. And every one of us are wearing out. But you know what never goes away? The goodness of God in heaven. And God has created for us an eternal future that ought to just elate our hearts every day. Amen. We ought to be excited about what He's done for us. And so, once again, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:11 says, it's God who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And friends, when we think about the counsel of God, we must put our minds and our hearts right to the Word of God, because the counsel of God is not outside the Holy Scripture. If we're going to get understanding, it's going to be through the revelation of God made, put into inspiration. It was inspired through the illumination that He does in our hearts and our minds every day when we break open the book and we begin to study it. And friends, I'll tell you, it's so important. I was visiting with Brother John, and something I've just started doing now. Friends, I spend a lot of time every week studying the Word of God. But God put it on my heart, and I study in my study, and I study off of my computer, but God put it on my heart to get a journal. And I want to encourage you guys with this. I said to myself, I'm not going to share this unless I'm doing it myself. So I got a journal. And I'd encourage you guys, it's so profitable. Get that journal, put a date at the top of it, take and open up a text of Scripture and let God speak to you and journal what He says to you. And go back and see what God said to you on that day. And do that every day. Friends, that's highly profitable. You know, so often we skip and hit and miss and catch this little segment or this little sermon, or we go to church. Friends, God wants you and I spending time with Him and getting to know Him and His goodness. God is a good God. So I encourage you with that. Journal the things He says to you. Let Him speak to you. You know, beloved, the Bible teaches us that God makes absolutely no mistakes. And if we understand that and we believe that, that ought to have some significance in the way we think, the way we behave. What God says is absolutely true, and Brother Dave quoted Numbers 23:19 this morning, and we often quote that verse, but everything that our Lord tells us is absolutely true, and everything that He does is absolutely perfect. And I love that passage in Deuteronomy 32:4, where Moses said, He's the rock, listen to this, and His work is perfect. So everything God does is perfect. Don't you want your life directed by somebody that's perfect? Amen. You know, the best way we can get good direction in this life is by engaging the God who is perfect. Amen. And friends, as we do that, what it's going to do for us is it's going to put us on this path that is absolutely good. It's righteous. It's holy. It's truth. That's where God wants us to go. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, do I really believe what God says? Friends, you ever, I ask myself that. Rick, do you really believe that? I do. I do. I believe it. I believe it. And so, friends, God makes no mistakes. Now, this morning, if you believe that God makes mistakes and that God's not always right and that He's not always true, you're in a dilemma. You're in a difficult place. You're trying to find fulfillment and satisfaction. You're trying to find meaning. You're trying to find direction. You're trying to find wisdom. And for some reason, it's eluding you. Friends, you need to believe what God says. That's it. It's that simple. It's not conjuring up some kind of an emotional high or trying to spool up some kind of an imagination. Just believe what He says. Now listen to me when I say this. It's not just an intellectual thing. If I believe what God says, I'm going to do what He says. That's the reality. And so, friends, when we take God's truth, we pray over God's truth, and then we implement God's truth, there's always results. And, friends, it only satisfies our longing hearts. He satisfies us. It's like David said in Psalm 103, He gives us good things. Why does He do that? Because He is a good God. I was just reminded of that in a very real way this morning as Brother Dave was teaching. And you know, Israel in their rebellion, God literally preached against the land. And it became a barren place. Friends, our lives become a barren place when we're not doing what God calls us to do. But when Israel would turn from their sin and they would believe God, God would fulfill exactly what God said He would do. Why would God ever bless us in our disobedience? He just doesn't do it. And so sometimes we need to really look inside, don't justify. We pray, God, I need to change in these areas. And see, when we're honest and open, what that does is that opens us up for God to begin His work. Friends, as long as we're resisting and we're pushing it back against His will, God's not going to do anything. Remember this, Hebrews 11:6 is so emphatic. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I've got to get in line. And when I do, I experience the goodness of God. Friends, we want to know His goodness this morning. We want to know His goodness. The Bible is replete that God is good and that He is perfect. 2 Samuel 22 and verse number 31 says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried." Beloved, I've been going through a series because I believe as Christians, we need to be able to answer people's questions. And a lot of people have a lot of questions. And we need to be able to take them to the Word of God and share with them what God says concerning the truth. We all need to be able to do that. And so when we come to this idea of God's Word and it being trusted, the reason we trust it is because He's evidenced to us that what He says is true. And so, you know, if you haven't been coming on Wednesday night, listen to the lessons. Because it gives insight on the fact that everything that God says, He does. And friends, when we begin to build confidence in the revelation of God, the truth of God through inspiration and illumination, it really builds our lives up. And we're saying to ourselves, you know what? I can trust God. He said He would do this and He did it. It's clear. It's evident. And He's, you know, so much through the prophetic word. But something that's so important, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust Him. And that's 2 Samuel 22:31, but Psalm 18, verse 30 actually reiterates the same truth. And David said, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to those that trust Him." And friends, that idea of a buckler simply means that He just protects us. He does. He shields us. And friends, this morning, I just want to say, if you're blaming God and you're angry with God, you're missing who God is. You're missing who He is. You see, we are not perfect. We are not omniscient. We are not omnipotent. We are not omnipresent. But we serve a God who is all of that. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere. And when we're angry with the one who knows what's best, we have come to that place in our lives where we think we know more than the God of heaven. Friends, that's foolishness. It's foolishness. It's not where we want to live. And friends, if that's you this morning, the best thing you can do is you need to begin to pray. God, I need change in my life. God, I'm struggling in these areas. Be honest with Him. Don't go into denial. So many believers today will go into denial about their own identity. That's horrible, because God knows everything. And then all of a sudden, you're really at odds with Him, because now you think you can hide something from Him. Friends, you're never going to hide anything from God. It's just not going to happen. So we're transparent. We're honest. Friends, when we resist truth, our hearts become unthankful. Would you think about that for a little bit this next week? When we resist truth, our hearts become unthankful. You ever have moments of unthankfulness? Can I say to you, you're resisting the truth. Friends, the truth always delivers us. It always sets us free. And that's what Jesus said. So we need the truth. And we don't want to be those who resist truth. We don't want to be those who become unthankful. And I want to also say this morning. The truth, and I was going back to the Sunday school hour, but, you know, the nation of Israel was offended when God spoke the truth to them. And you know what the truth does? It offends. Friends, the day I was saved, I had heard the gospel, and I did not like anybody telling me I was a bad person or I was a sinner. I knew I was, but that was for me to know. I didn't want anybody telling me that.
It was evident.
And the reality was I had people say things to me, and it offended me. Friends, have you ever been offended by the truth of the Word of God? Be honest. Friends, that's by design. You see, when we get offended, we ought to take that offense and figure out why it's there, and then ask God to make the change. You know what He's faithful to do? He'll make the change. He'll make the change. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15. I want to look at verse number 10 this morning. Matthew, the 15th chapter, and verse number 10. And here we have Jesus dealing with the multitudes, just by way of introduction. And notice what the text says here. This is quite interesting. It says, "And He called the multitudes and said unto them, Hear and understand." That's pretty direct. Listen. Listen and understand that not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man. So what goes in, what we consume, that's not what defiles us. Watch this. "But that which cometh out of the man, this defileth a man. Then came His disciples and said unto Him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended?" Offended after they heard this saying. Well, that's absolutely true. But what offended them? Well, the truth of the Word of God offended them. They were offended by the truth. And friends, unthankful people are easily offended. You ever notice that? Let me back up a minute. Have you ever been around somebody who's chronically complaining? Are they easily offended? Yeah, absolutely. And so unthankful people, they're offended by the truth. It offends them. Verse 13. "But He answered and said, Every plant which My heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Verse 14. "Let them alone." Now listen closely. "They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." And boy, that's about the truth, isn't it? Yeah. And so, friends, without the goodness of God and without the truth of God, how does man end up? Well, he doesn't end up in a good place. He doesn't end up in a good place. And a life without God is always demonstrated in unthankfulness. Did you hear what I just said? A life without God is always demonstrated in unthankfulness. That's the nature of an unregenerate heart. It's unthankful. Has nothing to be thankful for. And this will all connect in just a minute. Verse number 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? So they were kind of lost at this point. Verse 17, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Folks, unthankful people in our world manifest their spiritual condition. If you're ever around an unthankful person, you don't need to criticize them. You need to evangelize them. I'm serious. You need to evangelize them. Why do you need to evangelize them? They don't know the King. They don't know the Lord. They need to hear the truth of the Word of God. And friends, when you look at what's going on in our nation right now, we need to evangelize. I mean, it's relevant. And friends, what did Jesus do? He evangelized. He told them the truth. And so, friends, the thing that shows us where we're at are really the pressures of this life. And so when the pressures begin to come in on us, when they begin to build up or they begin to culminate in our lives, the reason those pressures are coming is because we're not thankful. When you're thankful, those pressures do one thing to you. They only make you more thankful. God, you're in control. God, you're directing my life. God, you have a purpose and a plan. And so the pressures of life, they're always the revealer of what's going on inside. And friends, God's design is, and correct me if I'm wrong, God's design is pressure, trials, difficulties are to create a response. And here it is. You see, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The pressures of life should cause you and I to respond in a very positive way. Because we understand that what God says is true. And we are to give thanks in those difficult places. And friends, God is glorified. You know, when everything's going right in your life and you're glorifying God, that's one thing. But when you take a man whose life is under duress and difficulties, and that man is praising God and he's smiling, I'm telling you, it's not normal. It's very abnormal. And the reason it's happening is not because he's some unique individual. It's his worldview. He sees God for who he is. And he understands the goodness of God, and he gravitates to that. Friends, that's the Spirit of God at work in life. Only people who know him live that way. And that's why you find Paul saying, you know, in these present sufferings, he says, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. They're just not worthy of it. God is good, friends. God is good. Goodness produces thankfulness. Amen? Amen. It does. Friends, I wanted to share a few more things this morning. You know, the past 4 years, and I'm just going to say this, it's not political, it's theological, and it's had an effect on the nation, but the past 4 years has been very depressive for many people. But I can honestly stand up here right now and say, at no point did I find myself depressed. You know why? Because I understood and I knew, not based on some special insider, but based on what God says, that He was in control. And friends, because of that control, I didn't like it, but I could joy in the fact that God is King and Lord. Yeah. You know, and that's what we read in 1 Chronicles 29:11. You know, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the victory, the majesty. Thine, O Lord, is the kingdom. And heaven and earth are under His control. And He controls it all. And He is the head of all things, it says there in 1 Chronicles 29:11. And so, friends, when we have that kind of understanding about God and His goodness, we're just not bothered by what's going on around us. It's when we lose that perspective and the world comes in on us and we find this encroachment, and what it does is it just derails us, gets us out of balance, and the next thing you know, we become gloom and doom. Friends, that's not the way God designed it. He wants us to see the goodness of Him and who He is as our Lord and God. I want to read a passage to you. Let's go ahead and just turn there. Psalm chapter 28, verse number 7. And, you know, people need a changed view. And the only way we get a changed view is by coming face to face with what the Bible says. And Psalm 28, 7 says this, "The Lord is my strength." God's my strength, friends. He's my strength right now today. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him." See, I'm not looking to man for the answers. I'm looking to God. I'm trusting in Him. "And I am helped." God helps me. "Therefore, my heart does what? It greatly rejoices. And with my song, I will praise Him." Notice what happens. The outcome is everything around me is coming apart, but God never comes apart. "And my heart is fixed on Him," and that fixation creates an outcome. I rejoice. I'm glad because of Him. Psalm 50, let's go ahead and turn over there. Psalm 50 and verse 23. It tells us here, "Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me." How is God glorified? By praising Him. And is, friends, is that only when everything's going my way? No. All times. We praise Him at all times. That's right, Brother Joe. "Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." Friends, how do we order our conversation aright? We speak the things of God. Amen. I told a brother the other day, and I meant it, there's no greater joy for me than to be in fellowship with another believer, and the center of our conversation is the things of God. Amen. The things of God. Amen. Friends, so important. So important. Beloved, if we understand God as perfect, we will praise Him. We will praise Him. No matter the outcome or the situation, we will praise Him. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have a moment of lag and have the enemy come again. Yeah, you can have that happen, but listen, he doesn't take control. God takes control. You're going to be opposed. That's a reality. We're all opposed. But do we let that opposition lead us down a wrong road? No. We turn to the God of heaven. Wait a minute. That's not from my God. I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I serve the God of Israel. I serve the God who is triune in nature, who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to set me free. That's the God I serve. Friends, I'm free because of Him. And you're free this morning because of Him. You see, friends, Romans 8:28, and this is the beauty. This is for every believer. Romans 8:28, most of us have it memorized, but God works all things together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. We have to love Him. We have to believe Him. And God says, you know what? I'm going to work it for good. You know, beloved, something that's interesting, and I'll probably just stop on this note. I have a lot more, but this is something I think we just need to be reminded of. When we think about the omniscience of God, the all-knowingness of God, we really need to put that into some systematic thought. We see a lot of evils going on in the world, and we know that God's in control of all things. He works all things together for the good. But I want us to understand something this morning. You know, God in His omniscience sees everything that's going on. And He's given man free will. He's given man choice. I mean, he doesn't violate that. But because of His omniscience, He knows the choices that man will make. Listen to me carefully. And He works those choices into His divine plan without ever touching the will of a man. So there's evil in our world. We're not going to argue the point. The point is God knows that evil and God works it all together. Yes. Listen to me. He doesn't touch it. He has no part of it. But He works it into His eternal plan. How does He do that? He's omniscient. He knows it all. Friends, are we going to trust Him today? Are we going to trust Him this week? Are we going to rejoice and be glad? Let's bow and pray. Father God, once again, we thank You for Your truth. Thank You for Your word. And God, we thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, I'm just elated by who You are and how You provide and direct and instruct and teach and the impartation of wisdom and all that You do. God, it's so far beyond us. As the writer of Proverbs says, we're not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways, we're to acknowledge You. And Father, this morning, we acknowledge You as a good and glorious God who loves His people, who's redeemed His people, who will one day glorify His people. We thank You for Your great work of salvation, sanctification, and glorification. Father, bless each one here today. Lead them this week, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother Joe.